Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Monroe Anderson coming up. In the meantime, here is our interview with Alderwoman Jeanette Taylor. Go check this out. It's available at ChicagoReader.com and wherever else you download podcasts. Alderwoman Jeanette Taylor and Ben Jarofsky.
They got beat up and killed and arrested.
So, again, going back to my analogy, just imagine if a black political leader 2-3 weeks out had been saying January 6th is the day. January 6th is the day.
They'd have stayed at work. They wouldn't have left that. They wouldn't have left Chambers until that person was impeached. Period. Ain't no question in my mind. No question in my mind. But we can't get justice for the wrongdoing that happens to people of color all of the time. But for him, he gets the pass.
And we're stuck with the bill.
Because we're going to pay in lawsuits. We're going to pay in cleanup. We're going to pay in insurance. The American people are going to pay for what has happened. And Donald Trump will be on his plane in his house overseas somewhere, collecting all that illegal money he done stole.
Yeah, the bill I was actually thinking about was a psychic bill. Like, not just a...
This whole year has made us all need therapy. I don't care what anybody says.
You know, it's funny because it was like everybody was like, I can't wait for 2020 to be over. I heard that.
I don't know. It's like, and 2021 had a talk. And nobody supervised that talk. Because this shit, we 7 days into the new year, and this is what we got?
No, you know, you touched on something. And I had many moments in that scene yesterday stick in my mind, but the one that you touched on really where that security guard, they're chasing him up the stairs. He's got a baton. That's all he's got.
Got a gun and he got pepper spray and he uses none of it, which don't get me wrong. Alderwoman Jeanette Taylor / Jeanette B. Taylor / JT is not condoning violence, but let that have been some different folks. That's just because people of color are seen as a threat. That's what it is. Let's call this country, let's call it what it is.
Wait, did he have a gun?
And that's all you get, everybody. Go download the rest of it, ChicagoReader.com, or wherever else you download your favorite podcast. Hour number two, let's go. The Ben Jarofsky Show is brought to you in part by SEIU Healthcare, Illinois, Indiana, the Chicago Federation of Labor, and the Chicago Reader. Benny J, take it away.
Every Wednesday, Monroe Anderson joins us for discussion of politics. Trump is what we called it. He was just here. Now he left. I don't know where he went.
Monroe, where'd you go?
Come back, Monroe.
Oh, boy, is it something we said?
It's all forgiven. I think he's sick of those Tai Chi jokes. I can't. There he is. He's back. Monroe Anderson was with us. Then he was then he left. He left the stage. He's like Elvis has left the building, but now he's returned. Monroe, I thought it was you were sick of those. You were sick of those.
It doesn't work.
What's that?
Said modern technology, it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. All right, let me read your Facebook posting. That'll act as a cheat sheet for what we're going to discuss. It's been a long time coming, but finally, Trump is being recognized as the pariah He has justly earned. The banking community, corporate America, the golf circuit, and New York City have all cut ties with him. And Democrats are in the process of indicting him for a second time. Is making Trump the first president to be impeached a second time a good idea? Will it hurt President Biden's first months in office? Will it further divide America? That's what we'll be talking about on the Ben Jarosky Show. Yeah, all good and important topics, and we'll get to them all. Monroe, I just, before we get into this, I just have to share this headline, today's New York Times. I laughed when I saw this headline, Monroe. Here's the headline. GOP leaders begin to break with Trump. Begin to break with Trump. It's like, we're not quite sure we're ready to go out on a limb there now. The guy just decided it's insurrection. They're beginning to break with Trump. It's a slow process, Monroe, very slow process. But they're starting to begin. And that doesn't look very promising from that early debate in the House. But before we do that, let's just go back in time.
They have six Republicans who are going to vote for impeachment.
They've announced that already. I thought it was five. Who is the sixth?
I just saw a crawl saying as much. They didn't name them, but they said six Republicans are going to vote for the impeachment.
All right. Well, that's six. That's one more than the five I thought they had. Let's just go back for a moment.
Six more than last time.
Yeah, six more than last time. Wow, not one Republican. Is that correct? Am I right on that? Not one voted for impeachment for the Ukrainian shakedown deal?
Not one.
We've gone
In the House. You had Mitt in the Senate. Mitt Romney.
Yeah, no, I know. No congressman voting for impeachment in the House. All right. It was 1 week ago that I learned of the insurrection by looking at the disbelief and fear in your eyes as we were doing this show. You apparently have a TV not far from where we're having this conversation. You were watching the marauders overtake the White House, chase the security guard down the hallway.
It wasn't fear. It was wonderment. Yeah, because they have been saying... They have, I knew there was going to be violence. There have been reports that there were going to be violence, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was going to be on the streets. I didn't realize it was going to be actually in the U.S. Capitol. And that's what blew my mind. I mean, it was just incredible. And the visuals of it, these guys with the battering ram and climbing and hanging a Trump sign. Where an American flag used to be, a Trump flag. It was total chaos.
Yeah. Do you have any theories, reigning theories, as to how the insurrectionists got as far as they did? Do you think it was just oversight on the part of the people who were charged with the responsibility of guarding the Capitol, or do you think there was something more subversive going on, some kind of conspiracy? What's your thoughts?
They wore that protective shield, the color of their skin. It was a bunch of white people. Had that been Black Lives Matter, it would have been like at the carnival when they have the dials up in the shooting gallery, the ducks in the shooting gallery, so you can win a prize. They've been shooting black people coming and going. But this was like, it's black. Well, and there are other theories also. There are reports that some of the congressmen, they haven't been named yet, but were actually the day before taking some of the white nationalists and on a tour of the Capitol building. So they know where everything was. And that makes a certain amount of sense because Clyburn's office, he has a second office that he operates out of. Mm-hmm. And it's in some place that nobody knows about. In fact, people who work there, some of his colleagues, have trouble finding his office. They were able to find that. They're also able to find Pelosi's office, which is it's not a roadmap to it. It's not on the visitor schedule. Mm-hmm. If you do this and do that. And one other thing, the guest you just had on who talked about the Black Guard not shooting anybody.
Jeanette Taylor, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I came in late, so I didn't hear her name. But the situation there was, this guy was a hero. What he did, he just had a rod. I guess it has electricity in it or something. I don't know. He had some sort of rod, and he had his gun. But what he did was he drew the crowd away from the Capitol building, the meeting in the Capitol building, whatever their meeting room was called. He distracted them because he ran up the stairs and he looked over there, and that not only the room, the doors were open and they were meeting there, the congressman. Mm-hmm. And so what he did was he shoved the guy with the QAnon shirt on. He shoved him, and the guy started chasing him. And he drew him away from and then called for help, backup. But had he not done that, they would have headed straight into the meeting.
Yeah.
And we'd be doing stories about X amount of congressmen dead.
Yeah. No, that was that moment. That was the last way I remember so clearly. Dennis watching that with disbelief while I was on the air live, and saying, "Oh my God, they're chasing a security guard or a police officer." I can't remember which. And
he's a cop.
Yeah,
a cop, police.
I think he should be commended for what he did and the restraint he showed and the smarts he showed. He picked up, I remember he picked up that baton as he was coming up the stairs. The mob was coming at him, and he picked up the baton that happened to be lying there, and he used it, just waved it in the air, and that kept him at bay long enough.
Right.
Monroe, I touched on this at the start of the show. I'd love to get your thoughts on this. Among the crowd, there was an Olympic gold medalist, a swimmer. Very bizarre. Old boy is 6'6", very recognizable, not wearing a mask because, of course, he's MAGA, doesn't believe that the COVID is real, so why wear a mask? And he's wearing his Olympic jacket. I mean, just a level of what? Of just, I don't know, arrogance?
They were on a mission from God. You know, like in the Blues Brothers movie, they're on a mission, and God has told them that Trump is our leader, and he's meant to be there, and he's going to be there. Mm-hmm. And so why hide your identity?
Yeah.
And then also you had some Proud Boys and some Boogaloo Boys among the group who were a little more active than your average protester. And I'm not sure some of the people who were in the mob expected it to be as violent as it turned out to be. And you have mob mentality.
Yeah.
You know, 100 years ago, when they were lynching a black man or a Jew or something, the crowd would get all worked up, and it was entertainment for them. You know, they'd bring their children and have a picnic while they were watching the lynching. And so that mob mentality was at play also.
Yeah, and as I pointed out, many of the insurrectionists are feeling some repercussion. They've either been arrested, they've been charged, they've lost jobs, been suspended.
Right.
Suddenly they're realizing that a lot of people are really upset with them. Donald Trump, of course, is a whole other matter. And that gets to the questions that you raised on your Facebook page. Is it prudent for Democrats to impeach him? Should they just let it go in the name of unity, aim of getting eliminating any distractions? This is Lori Lightfoot's position. Any distractions from the Senate so Joe Biden can get his legislation through or his appointees through. Your thoughts on this?
I think they should impeach him. I think they are duty bound to impeach him. Because if you can't be, as president, if you can't be impeached for inciting a mob to take siege on the U.S. Capitol building, look for the vice president to hang him, look for the Speaker of the House to assassinate, then when does it go into play? Would Trump have had to have done it himself before worthy of impeachment? And secondly, you know, I understand the concern about being preoccupied with the impeachment and therefore not getting the things Biden wants done in the first 100 days. However, I think that that's the conditioning of Democrats, where they're always, oh dear, we're not going to be able to do this, and we're so nervous about doing that. They are in charge. They're going to have the Senate. They have the House. They have the White House. If they can't get anything done with that, then they don't need to be there either. We need two new parties in America.
I'm with you. The woe is me Democrats have got to go. And, you know, it's funny. I mean, I don't want to bring in this, Springfield news with Washington, but there is a connection. Michael Madigan, the master of the legislative process, is out. Chris Welch, this news broke as the show, early part of the show. Chris Welch is in, a state representative from the western suburbs. And the Democrats are concerned because Madigan plays the game like McConnell plays the game. And so if we don't have our maestro in there, they will have an advantage. And it's true. Madigan does play hardball.
Right.
He makes you come to him every step of the way. Now, kiss his ring.
Yeah, right.
Now, generally, it's all about Madigan doing that to accumulate more power for Madigan, right, and not really about like progressive legislation. I understand all that, but he is the maestro and the master. Now, we're watching Republicans play the game. I never hear Republicans complain about their maestros and masters and Mitch McConnell. And let's just bring it here. They have made, they're going to make the Democrats wear this. Mike Pence, vice president, could have asked that the cabinet vote to remove Trump on the basis of the 25th Amendment. Wimped out on that one. Mitch McConnell could have held a hearing as soon as the Democrats pass this impeachment.
He still could do it.
But he's already said he's not going to do it.
I know. Although he wants to, see, Mitch is very slick, because what he does by delaying it until an hour after Biden is sworn in, then he can blame the Democrats for doing Trump in, instead of taking the credit himself. So what he is hopeful of is that the Republicans would be upset because the Democrats did Trump in, and therefore, when the next election in 2 years happens, the Republicans will win back the House, and no Republican senators will lose a seat. That's a strategy. I don't think that's going to work. I mean, if the Democrats are bold and tough about what they're doing, none of this, well, sorry, I stepped on your foot, but you stepped on my foot first. they got to go in fighting, headhunting, purging, whatever is necessary to be in charge and get what they want done. Because if they take care of the virus, and if they perform with the vaccines, which will help take care of the virus, then the economy will improve. 2 years from now, they'll be flying high, and nobody will care. In fact, Trump will definitely be a pariah by that time. But if they go, I'm sorry, but Trump was misbehaving, so we had to slap his wrist. then it's going to embolden the Republicans more, and they're going to take charge.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I've been thinking a lot about when Nixon stepped down. I did this piece for the Reader where I was recollecting. I talked about how last week I didn't actually see the insurrection. I just saw it in your eyes, and how now I will always have that memory of that moment. That's how I learned about the insurrection. And there's so many, we've accumulated these memories over the years, Monroe, you too, all of us have, of like great moments, scary moments, really significant moments, where we were when they happened. And when I wrote that piece, several people responded by saying they remember where they were when Richard Nixon stepped down. What a great momentous moment that was in American history, 1974, when President Richard Nixon stepped down. And I don't remember where I was in 1974 when Richard Nixon stepped down. I just remember where I was the next day when I read about it. It's kind of weird how memory works. And I remember very clearly reading the Sun-Times article about Richard Nixon stepping down in like disbelief, you know, like that this is happening. But Richard Nixon was actually like more, I don't know, noble, if such a word could apply to Richard Nixon, far more than Donald Trump, who will never acknowledge that he did anything wrong.
Right. Now, Nixon was a patriot, and he was more liberal than Clinton or Obama. And he came up with the EPA. He came up with affirmative action. Yeah, so I mean it's as bad as he was, he was good compared to Trump.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Is Nixon more liberal, hold on, than Clinton or Obama?
Yes. 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 He came up, now he later changed the course. But initially, he came up, the EPA is a Nixon product.
Yeah.
Affirmative action was Nixon introduced it. There are some other things that I'm not thinking of yet, but no, initially he had a very liberal for Republicans.
Well, the bar is really low, and it just goes to show you how far the Clintons and the Obamas try to take the Democratic Party away from.
It wasn't them. It was that the Republicans were beating the living daylights out of us. When I was in college in the 60s, I can remember when conservative was a dirty word. That it was a rare person you ran into who admitted to being a conservative. And the Republicans turned that all around to where by the time Clinton got in office, being a liberal meant you were a socialist communist or something. And so what he and Gore ended up doing, they were the young lions back then, was they scrambled to the middle and were Southern candidates running for the presidency. And that's how they won it, because anybody more liberal than them wasn't about to win.
By the way, I urge everybody, if you haven't already, I'm late to this game. I've been watching Mrs. America on Hulu. Really fascinating series, enjoying it immensely. Talks about the ERA, the attempt to pass the Equal Rights Amendment, and Phyllis Schlafly, and how in many ways she was a precursor to the Tea Party and MAGA. Many of the same rhetoric. Right. And Monroe, that rhetoric that you described is still very much a part of the Republican arsenal. That rhetoric that Democrats represent, far left, communists, socialists, radical thugs, that's still very much a part of their rhetoric.
I still read it every day on my Facebook wall when I'm raiding other right-wingers' Facebook walls. they talk about socialists and the communists and whatever. And I point out to them that Putin is a former KGB agent who's pulling Trump's strings right now. And of course, that's nothing they can even imagine. And the KGB was so long ago. That's what one guy told me yesterday. Mm-hmm. But I was using ancient history. You know, like now that Putin is a kleptocrat instead of a communist, he's changed his stripes.
No, it's there's still the same mindset is right. at play in Putin's and mind.
His training on Trump, because he was like trained in psychological warfare, where you flip somebody. That was his training, and he was an expert at it. And he did it was an easy job, but he did a wonderful job on Donald J. Trump.
All right, so let's discuss the Republicans for a while. GOP leaders begin to break with Trump. Headline in the New York Times made me laugh. When all is said and done, your sense of things, six congressmen are going to vote for impeachment at the moment, six Republican congressmen.
Right.
To actually convict Donald Trump of these charges, they'll need at least 17, is my understanding of the math. If the hearing is, if the trial is after Schumer takes control of the Senate, as opposed to now.
Right.
So, do you think 17 senators, Republican senators, will vote against Trump?
God, I'm blanking on her name. The former senator from Missouri, McCaskey.
Oh, Claire McCaskill.
McCaskill, yeah.
Yeah.
She said yesterday that she knew of half a dozen senators who more than likely were going to vote for impeachment. And another eight or nine who might vote for impeachment.
What a joke. That's still not even 17. Right. I did the math.
Right. I know. No, it's going to be, well, except this is the thing is, Mitch is saying, they're saying now that Mitch is more than 50-50 on voting to impeach Trump. So and otherwise, it's... there's still a chance. We'll see.
Well, we'll have to see. This is a long way for playing out, but based on the early arguments, and why don't you recite those early arguments that the Republicans are making? It seems as though they're trying to concoct some sort of defense.
Their defense now is that, a couple of defenses. One is Trump's defense also, you know, where Trump says that, they've been after him from the beginning. The Democrats have been after him from day one, and that this is the same witch hunt that they were performing 3 years ago or during the last impeachment. That he's a good president. He's a great. Sorry, Trump's never good at anything. He's a great president, and they're just going after him. That's his defense. Some of them are repeating that in these hearings right now. The others are saying, wait for it. We need to unite.
Oh, God.
If we impeach Trump, that's going to divide America at a time when we really need to be more united. So don't do it. Those who are slightly critical of Trump are saying, well, impeachment is too much, too far in such a short period of time that we should just censure him and be done with it and focus on coming together, having a kumbaya moment.
It's so funny. Let's see how much they come together when it comes to confirming Joe Biden's appointments, appointees. So what's your response to the unite argument? What's your response to if we impeach, we divide?
We're already divided. that would be like if somebody came over from France in 1863 and said, "You Americans ought to get together." I don't understand all this business about slavery and being upset about it or anything like that. It's we can't be any more divided than we are, you know, outside of unless Sherman was brought back in a time machine and went through the South again and did his thing. I mean, we can't be anymore. You know, they are right now the right wing groups, the Proud Boys, the Boogaloos, the white nationalists are planning on a civil war. I mean, literally planning on a civil war. By this time next week, we probably will have had more violence. Mm-hmm. And so I can't imagine that these guys who have been hoping and planning for a civil war for the past 10 years or so, mm-hmm. if we say, well, we'll just censure Trump and let it go at that, they go, oh, pull away your guns. Stand down. I mean, it's there.
No, I take very serious their rhetoric, Monroe, and I spent a lot of time this weekend writing a story for the Reader, researching Mary Miller, the congresswoman from Southern Illinois, the woman who said that Hitler was right. Yeah. And I took a little, and not just her, but her husband, who's a state rep, Chris Miller, and who was at the Trump rally, by the way. Yeah. State representative. Now, I don't believe he went to the Congress, but he was at the rally itself. So their rhetoric is very much that America is at war. And the other side, which would be the Democratic side, right. represents communism
right.
and socialism
right.
and secularism
right.
and anti-Christianity. That's their...
And perhaps pedophilia and eating babies.
Yes, that too. And so I don't understand if that's your worldview.
Right.
I don't understand how anything the Democrats do could result in unity unless it's utter capitulation to the worldview of Mary Miller and Chris Miller.
And who, even the capitulation is not going to work because then they'll want to put us in concentration camps because we've capitulated. And we've confessed. Well, I only eat a baby once during Christmas time. Other than that, I eat cows or chickens or something. So it's no. The thing what Democrats have to do, and I'm hoping they do it, is they have to come hard and fast. At the Republic, everybody who trespassed, yes, it was in that siege, needs to be identified and jailed. They need to get jail time. If they just trespassed it, then maybe a week or two. If they were plotting to overthrow the government, 20 years. But they all need to, and there needs to be stories about that on a regular basis. And what they did and why they did it, et cetera. And the politicians, the congressmen and the senators who were part of this plot need to be thrown out of office, not by the voters, but I mean by law, put out and not allowed to hold office again. That's the only way that we're going to bring this to an end. Is if enough people get hit hard enough, you know, cops would stop killing unarmed black people if every time they did it, they went to prison. No, none of this, okay, well, we can't quite figure out whether They meant to do it. They didn't do it. You know, they tripped and their gun went off several times. So, you know, but if the same laws apply to police as they do to a regular citizen, these shootings would stop immediately. And so that's what has to be done.
I can't see. Maybe I'm wrong, but at this moment, I cannot see what you're calling for to happen. I cannot see a congressman removed from office for supporting Trump. Listen, Trump blatantly incited this insurrection. We all saw it. We all heard it.
Right.
I can't even. Right now, the joke is you got six Republicans. Six. That's it. The headline, begin to break.
Last Wednesday was the turning point. Merritt is going to follow the law. And so they're going to find all these major players and they're going to put them in jail. They're going to find out who the congressmen who were in cahoots with Trump and these people. That's all going to come out. They're going to take, there's going to be criminal action against Trump. I like to go out on limbs.
Yes, you do. We'll talk about that in a little while, but go ahead.
It's a thrill ride. You know, it's like being on the roller coaster. So you're out there on that wind, bouncing up and down and side to side. Have you? Okay, this is my latest
limb.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we will know in 8 days whether I was right or wrong. None of this long distance business. But I'm predicting that Biden gets sworn in as president at noon Wednesday, a week from today. And before the business day is over, somebody from New York is handing Trump an open indictment. And there will be more to come. At some point, Georgia is going to give him indicted on criminal activities. I mean, it's. Did you ever see that movie, The Harder They Fall?
The Jamaican yes. Movie? Yeah, the reggae movie from 1972.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I keep thinking of that song. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. And in fact, I'm going to put that on my wall sometime.
Just to infuriate MAGA a little more than you already fear. All right, so since you're in the game of making predictions and going out on limbs, how about this one? What outrage will Donald Trump perpetrate in the coming days? You know he's got something up his sleeve.
Well, the pardons for one thing, for sure. And he's gonna try to pardon himself.
Is he gonna pardon the MAGA insurrectionists?
No, he can't. I don't think he can do that because you have to name names for that. You can't just say and anybody who broke into all 300 of you who broke into the Capitol and stole people's personal stuff and hallways and whatever other horrible things they did. You're forever. You don't have to worry. I pardon.
I'm going to pardon absolutely everybody who ever voted for me for anything they could possibly exactly. be charged with.
So that vote and the actual leaders to that, I don't think he's good. He may do one or two that he can name, but
there are some named and who've already been charged with.
Right, exactly.
So there are people he could pardon.
Yeah, but I don't think he cares enough about that. Okay. I don't think, you know, he didn't care enough about, he doesn't know him. For the most part, he doesn't care about him. So tough luck, you know.
You know? We were try. Dumb enough to listen to him.
Yeah, right. No, good try, but since you didn't actually succeed, because I still getting evicted on Wednesday, then I don't care about you. But he's going to take care of his family and his business associates and what have you. But the problem he has, of course, is that he can't pardon you. He can't pardon you for anything the state of New York That's going to get him four.
Yeah, I think you're right. A pardon will be among the outrage that we'll be discussing next week as Biden is sworn in. Let's Donald Trump's got a few outrages left. All right, now let's just
thing he may try and pull off. I just remember.
What's that?
Martial law. He's going to declare martial law, and his thinking, which is incorrect, but it's his thinking, is that if the country is under martial law, then we don't have time to get a new president because we're in danger. The troops are there, the soldiers are there, everybody's there trying to protect America. And so who has time to bring in somebody else to do the job when he's doing it himself?
Yeah. You know what's so bizarre about all this? Is that aside from his incendiary speeches and his rallies and his phone calls to various state officials in Michigan and Georgia, all of which is, I don't know, it seems to be against the law.
Well, it is.
It's like he's fighting so hard to subvert the election results. The guy shows no interest in actually being president. I mean, the pandemic is raging in the country right now. He shows no interest whatsoever.
Or even in the economy.
Yeah, it's just like all he cares about is subverting the election.
Well, no, because he loves the significance. The fact that for once in his life, he actually matters. Mm. But he has influence. He loves that. And he loves having the get out of jail card for you, but being president allows him.
All right. Now, you should know that our listeners are constantly making fun of you for your predictions not being accurate. This is a regular theme. Yes. But I just want to, I did a list. I was thinking about this the other day, and I did a list, and you've done pretty well. I got to tell you, okay, so here's what you've been off in terms of when it's going to happen. Adolfo loves to make fun of you because you said by the 4th of July, Trump will be out of office. I think that was the 4th of July of 2018. So you're off a little bit. But your basic predictions were that Donald Trump would lose to Joe Biden. Check that. Yeah. That the Democrats would hold the House. Check that. That the Democrats would win both races in Georgia. You predicted that.
Yeah.
And as a result, take back the Senate. Check that.
Yeah.
Finally, this prediction that you've been making constantly since the moment Donald Trump pretty much was sworn in, that Donald Trump will be impeached. And now it looks like there's a chance.
I was twice as right.
Yeah. I mean,
he was impeached.
He was convicted. Yeah. So.
And this time he might get convicted.
Might. If I had to put the bet in Vegas, I'd say no. I'd say that what the games that Mitch McConnell is playing strongly suggest that they're not ready to sever the cord with MAGA. They still, the incumbent Republicans, recognize that Donald Trump is the popular figure in their party. And so what they're doing is they're slowly weaning the Republicans.
Yeah, I know.
Donnie.
But again, I'm sure I've said this before, is once Trump is no longer in the White House, his allure is going to drop dramatically and fairly quickly. Nobody loves a loser. And that's what he is, you know. I mean, these MAGA fools that are still backing him, they still believe that he's going to be able to pull a rabbit out of the hat. And before next week, somehow, some way, America's going to come to its senses and realize that Trump was such a great leader and president, et cetera, and that he gets to stay in office. And Biden is an old senile man. And nobody wants him anyway, so he won't be sworn in. I mean, they still are of that mentality, a lot of them.
Well, I
and so I once that gonna, is over,
yeah,
once that is over, and the greatest thing that has happened, we didn't mention this, but the greatest thing that has happened in the past week is Twitter shut him down. That now, makes all the difference.
All right, Monroe, address the issue that this is an egregious violation of Trump's rights to a freedom of speech.
Anybody who has bothered to read the Constitution would know that it says Congress shall pass no law limiting free speech. Just Facebook, Twitter are private companies. And just like a baker can't be told that he must bake a cake for a gay couple, nobody can tell Twitter or Facebook who they can do business with or not do business with. They get to, it's their business, they get to make the decision. But Americans confuse this whole freedom of speech right all the time. And but if you are employed by somebody, a private employer, they can fire you because you didn't say Mr. before their last name if they want to. It's their choice. They get to do it.
I don't think I hear what you're saying. I don't think Americans are confused by it. They just want their side to be winning. So in other words, I think every American, and I've interviewed so many people about their bosses down to the years because I write about politics. And so constantly like getting somebody at City Hall to comment about Mayor Daley or Mayor Rahm or Mayor Lightfoot. And they're very cautious and nervous because they think they could be fired. So everybody knows there's a limitation to speech in this country. But you're right. They just invoke this ideal of unfettered freedom.
Yeah, no, but they confuse that part. I mean, particularly when it's somebody they like who's being put in their place.
Absolutely.
Then you know, I mean, when Trump was saying that Obama was a Kenyan, nobody took offense to that. On their side. Nobody took offense to that. And it's just, you know, it depends on what your politics
are. Yeah, it's all, absolutely. There are no fixed principles. There's very few fixed principles anywhere in politics today. Definitely not in the Republican Party. It's all tactical. We're seeing that right now with Mitch McConnell. We're seeing that here in Illinois, where Republicans get all fired up over Michael Madigan, and are silent about Trump. So we all know that's going on, Monroe. Absolutely. All right. Now, I just have to, before I let you go, let you know that I finally, and thanks to Frank, I can't thank you enough, Frank, got an opportunity to see Hamilton. Your favorite
music. Oh my God. Oh my Praise the Lord.
I watched it this Saturday.
Speaking of my list of being right.
Yes.
I tell you that you love it.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I was, and I have to say that the level of genius in that show is so deep that on one viewing, I only think I captured about 30% of it. You know, I got to watch it again. Now, will I watch it 7-8 times like you have? I don't know. But I will watch it.
Closed captions up?
Yes. Oh, come on, man. I'm old. I put the closed captions on everything. Okay. You know, I don't play around, man. I finally figured out how to put those closed captions up. That was tough. I had to call millennials all over the country. I'm having trouble with this. But no, it was just, you were right. And Toy Hutchinson, who used to come on the show all the time when she was a state senator, she was telling me I had to watch it, so she was right. It's brilliant. In fact, Eric Zorn quoted it today in the Tribune, a very funny quote, having the King George, what a character he was in that show.
Oh, I know.
You know? So I will definitely, I want to thank you for, oh my God, folks, you have no idea how many times Monroe Anderson would say, you haven't seen Hamilton, you've got to watch. So I finally saw it, you know,
That's good. So now when somebody talks about being in the room where it happened, you'll know exactly what they're talking about.
Absolutely. One of the greatest encapsulations of how politics gets done. Exactly. That song and that move in that show where they talk about the back room wheeling and dealings, and Ricky Hendon, who comes in the show from time to time, talks about that all the time. All the action, Ben, happens at the meeting before the meeting, and then there's the meeting before the meeting before the meeting. Right. And Miranda put that in just so eloquently into that song. When that song went down, I go, oh, that's what Monroe has been talking about. Anyway, you were right on that one. And we'll see if you're right with your prediction of Donald Trump trying to invoke martial law. You've made that prediction. And what was the other one that you predicted would happen? Oh, that before business day is over next Wednesday.
Exactly.
New York will have indicted.
Because this is what you have to think about, is they cannot let him roam free with all the information, although he didn't pay much attention in those briefings. Yeah. He heard enough and he knows enough where our enemies will be very interested in hearing what he has to say. And so they have to give it, indicting him will be the short term solution. Mm-hmm. You know, just like with the guys who broke into the Capitol, they're hitting them with trespassing because that's the thing to do. But much greater charges will come later. And that's going to be with Trump. They cannot travel anywhere. They need to have his phone tapped. I mean, they have to watch him closely, very close.
All right, that's Monroe, Law and Order, Anderson. who knew that that old hippie from the 60s,
right, exactly.
That old reefer-smoking hippie. Anyway, that was the 60s, folks. All right, Monroe, it's a blast talking to you. Talk to you next Wednesday, all right?
All right, okay.
All right, that's great.
One thing I got to think about this, the inauguration. Now, do I want to be talking to you or do I want to be watching the?
No, you're being right here talking to me. give me that baloney. I think the inauguration will probably be over by then anyway. So, all right, Monroe Anderson.
Okay. All right.
Take care. It's a pleasure as always. It's great, Monroe Anderson. Do you got any updates for me?
You got to pump the gas, Walsh. Pump it. Come on. Ah, there we go.
Everybody has trouble with that gas.
I know. All right, it's the top story of the day locally. And honestly, still hard to believe. Madigan out. Christopher Welch in. The bus has officially and figuratively rolled over Mike Madigan. And after 30-some-odd years, we have a brand new speaker. I mean, sure, the new guy is a top ally to Madigan, so we may essentially still be having him around. And, well, we heard some very unflattering news this afternoon about Welch's past, thanks to the Tribune. But, hey, onward and upward, I say. And right now, in my face, is a list of public press releases from very important people and organizations congratulating Chris Welch. Shout out to the meanest Illinois political bulldog in the yard, Capital Fax's Rich Miller. Get him on the chain. Scaring the kids. So I have some press releases regarding Christopher Welch. I have organizations and elected leaders. Ben, how about we start off with a statement from the AFL-CIO? What do you say?
All right, let's say, yeah. What does labor have to say?
All right, the Illinois AFL-CIO today issued the following statement in response to the Illinois House selecting Emmanuel Chris Welch as the new speaker. The Illinois AFL-CIO, representing nearly 1 million working families across the state, today offers a hearty congratulations to new Illinois House Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch. Speaker Welch has a proven track record of fighting for working families, and we are eager to work with him. Senate President Harmon and Governor Pritzker are to address the significant challenges facing the state of Illinois as we begin 2021. That was the comment there from the AFL-CIO.
Well, good. Because let's be clear about what was at stake in this fight. I've said this many times. Michael Madigan, in those 4 years of Rauner's reign, was the goalie blocking us from outrageous anti-union legislation. And say what you will about Michael Joseph Madigan's reign before the Rauner years, he was the one who kept us from turning into, kept Rauner from turning Illinois into a replica of Wisconsin. And, you know, my liberal friends are a little weak on union rights. We were talking about this with Mindy. I recommend everybody. That's a bonus interview that'll drop this weekend. A journalist for In These Times who talks about how to win over Trump voters. Anyway, we were talking about how weak liberals are when it comes to union rights. And Michael Madigan, for all his flaws, was very strong in this, and that's part of the reason why the labor movement was so loyal to him up until the very end. So the notion that Chris Welch will carry on that legacy is a good one, I say, because I believe in union rights.
All right, that was from the AFL-CIO. On to our next press release statement. This one comes from an elected leader. It is the Illinois State Treasurer and, jury's still out, but some say, the tallest man in Springfield. Him and Gazzardi are like right there with each other. One, Michael Frerichs. Michael Frerichs said about Chris Welch becoming the new speaker, "We witness history today. When members of the Illinois House of Representatives elected the first African-American to lead their chamber, I have worked successfully with the new speaker to pass legislation to make it easier to save for college and fought alongside him to ensure the life insurance industry pays death benefits after a customer passes away. Because of those past victories, I am excited to work with him to bring financial order to our state and expand economic opportunity for every person in Illinois."
Yeah, he's a statewide official. Frerichs, a senator, runs statewide. And as any statewide official, the Madigan's presence got him a little nervous. I don't know what other statements you're going to have, but we'll get into this if you have Pritzker or Tammy Duckworth, what have you. Statewide, Madigan is very unpopular outside of Chicago. She's not that popular in Chicago. And we've talked about this many times in the show. He was perhaps the most successful tool the Republicans had. And so isn't that interesting? Let's just take for a moment. Let's just pause for a moment to think about this. This just popped into my head. Just having that conversation with Monroe. Democrats in the House and in the Senate in Washington are moving quickly to impeach and convict Donald Trump and make him pay responsibility, be responsible for his actions in inciting a riot, inciting insurrection. And Republicans are saying, come on, unity is what matters. Put that beside us. Here we are in Illinois. And the Democrats finally cut the cord with Madigan. All right, you've been hammering us Republicans with Michael Joseph Madigan for the last 4 years. We better, cut him loose because we don't want to be tied to him anymore. And instead of Republicans saying, you did the right thing, now let's work together. Well, what are they saying? He's just another Madigan pawn. Fight, keep the fight. It's not like, congratulations, Democrats, for doing the right thing. Isn't that interesting? But in Washington, come on, can't we all just get along and let Donnie Trump go? We hear Democrats turn on their guy, Michael Joseph Madigan. They won't. The 19 stood strong. The 19 said they weren't going to vote for him, stood strong, blocked Madigan from being elected to the speaker. So Chris Welch was brought in. And the Republicans are like, oh, come on. He's just another man. What'd you think, Republicans, that they were going to nominate a Republican? You know what? For the sake of unity, I think we'll nominate Jim Durkin. Why would they? So, you know, not a lot of credibility on the Republican side and the whole unity thing, D. You know what I'm saying? That unity thing. Not a lot of credibility.
Oh, wait, we have a quote. I forgot to read it from Michael Frerichs here. It says, for the record, I am taller than Will Guzzardi. Okay.
But Giannoulis may be taller than each of them.
Oh, my God.
I see.
Giannoulis, he's a tall feller, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, yeah, look it up.
I'm not going to look it up. Up next, it's our friend, Terry Cosgrove in personal pack.
TC
and personal pack weighed in. Personal pack and TC said about Chris Welch, quote, in every single fight for reproductive rights in the Illinois General Assembly over the past decade, Chris Welch has been a passionate, strategic, thoughtful, and leading voice in the Illinois House. Welch is fearless in his support for reproductive justice. When many thought the historic 2017 fight for HB 40 would not be successful, Chris Welch worked to help us end the disgraceful denial of abortion care to low-income women and state employees. In 2019, when the groundbreaking Reproductive Health Act was facing an uphill battle in the Illinois House, Chris Welch spoke eloquently for the need to protect all Illinois women, regardless of Donald Trump's Supreme Court. All right, there's about four more paragraphs here. Wait, Terry Cosgrove is very excited. We're going to pause it right there, though. Ben, your thoughts.
Well, TC, no dope. And a very shrewd practitioner of the game. Knows how the game is played. Terry Cosgrove comes on the show all the time and lays out his strategy and his thoughts on these things. And it's like Madigan was here. Cosgrove, Terry worked with Madigan and got whatever he could get out of Madigan on the issue of paramount importance to Terry, which is abortion rights. Now Madigan's gone. Just switch over and work with Welch. Terry Cosgrove is all about either passing legislation that guarantees a woman's right to choose in matters of abortion or blocking legislation that would outlaw abortion in this state. That's what he's all about. He makes it very clear. And so now there's a new speaker, and that speaker has been an ally of Terry Cosgrove. Terry Cosgrove is going to be an ally of him. That's how the game is played, D. He learned from TC. He knows how the game is played. Put your big boy pants on, as Terry Cosgrove would say.
All right, and we'll do one more here. Finally, a politician, one we haven't heard from in a while. Ben, I'd love to hear your thoughts on that as well. Controller Mendoza, Susana Mendoza.
Wow. Yeah. We have not heard from Susana Mendoza in a long, long time.
Mendoza, where the hell have you been?
Mendoza report, poor.
Yeah, we haven't done a Mendoza report in ages. All right, so let's hear what Mendoza had to say. Terry Cosgrove, take notes. This is like one paragraph, so here we go. Controller Mendoza says, congratulations, Speaker Emmanuel Chris Welch, on your historic election as the first African-American Speaker of Illinois House of Representatives. I have appreciated your help on legislation over the years, and I look forward to working with you to move Illinois ahead.
All right, so Susana Mendoza used to be a state rep. She's a good Democrat, as they say. Now, are there any, when you're looking at that list that Rich Miller put together, are there any other women besides Susana Mendoza on that list?
I have Margaret Croak.
Okay, state representative from the north side of Chicago. That's the other one on that list. That's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, this will be interesting because the Republicans will soon shift from linking Welch to Madigan. Well, they'll probably continue to do that for a while. I mean, they've invested a lot of money into turning Madigan into pariah. They're not going to let that go that quickly. But they'll shift to the police report of brutality from 2002. So it'll be interesting to see what impact that'll have on the women in the Democratic Party. But Susana Mendoza, man, she was a regular on our show back in the old days when we were on the radio station with the Mendoza Report. And I really respected her, appreciated her, because she was a fighter against Rahner. Folks, Rahner was like an existential fight for someone like me, much like Trump. and it was on labor issues. This was back in the day. Most of this was when I was at the radio station. And what Ronald was trying to do to unions in the state of Illinois, destroy collective bargaining rights in the name of somehow or other, what, promoting the economy, somehow or other, making it more difficult for workers to stand up to bosses who are just going to randomly punish them or fire them, or make it give them a mechanism by which they can negotiate for a higher wage. Somehow or other, giving employees an opportunity on a collective basis to protect themselves from just unwarranted firings and punishment, that would be detrimental to our economy. And so I took it as a very existential threat for the union movement in the state of Illinois. And I took Rauner very seriously. And Mendoza was a really fought hard. I appreciated her for that. She was really fought hard against Bruce Rauner. And you're right, Dee. It did, like, she has kind of disappeared from the stage. She ran for mayor. I didn't think that was the greatest idea in the world. And it was unsuccessful. She got caught up in the Ed Burke corruption trial. Indictment. And so she was unsuccessful there. And, you know, the role she plays in Pritzker's administration is a lot different than the watchdog she was playing during the days of Bruce Rauner, didn't even have a budget. So, yeah, I hadn't thought about Susanna in a while. I haven't had her on the show in a while. She'd bring her back. But Chris Welch is going to need support from as many Democratic women as he can going forward. Pretty obvious.
All right. Yeah. We should try and get Mendoza back. Also on the list of people we need to get back, just because I thought of it. Wagaspak, Scott Wagaspak.
Scotty, man.
Where you been, Scott?
Come on, Scotty.
Come on. Back. What's the deal, Scott?
He loves Lori Lightfoot, ladies and gentlemen. Scotty loves Lori. I'll bring him back. I like Scotty.
So there you are. We'll obviously have more on this. Chris Welch becoming the new speaker on tomorrow's program. Remember, you can download previous Ben Jarofsky shows, Benny J bonus interviews, and so much more. Over 800 episodes of this show for you to download at chicagoreader.com and wherever else you download your favorite podcast. We played it at the top of the hour there. Jeanette Taylor, 20th Ward Alderwoman. If you haven't heard this interview yet, you're missing out. Go check it out. Download it now. A very candid interview with Alderwoman Jeanette Taylor, and spoiler alert, oh, she says the F-bomb like 20 times. It's awesome. So go check that out. And all the other archives, we're going to have the Monroe Anderson interview available later on tonight, as well as the back half, what we just talked about here, available for download as well. Share that with your friends. And if you listen on download, check us out on the YouTube channel, Chicago Reader YouTube, Tuesdays through Fridays, 1 until 3 p.m. Central Time, and join the live stream chat. Meet Dragon Slayer 19, Frank, J. Marie, Jim, Brianna, Steven, and so much more. We'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
All right. I want to thank Monroe Anderson for an outstanding job. And, of course, I want to thank the man, the myth, the legend, Pride of Joe at Alden Law, without whom the show is possible. And as in a rare show of unity, Jim Durkin and Chris Welch will tell you, back home in Alton, they call him White Lightning. Give yourself a raise. Take it out of petty cash. See you tomorrow, everybody.
Let us pray. Let us pray.
Why?
Why?
If you
Why?
Have T-Mobile 5G home internet, you might be hearing this
Why?
A lot.
Why?
Every time your internet slows down during the busiest hours.
Why?
Why?
Because your network gives priority to cell phone users.
Why?
Good question. Why not switch to Cox Internet with 2x faster download speeds than T-Mobile 5G home internet during peak hours?
Okay.
Stop the whys and visit cox.com/5G home for details. T-Mobile prioritizes certain T-Mobile phone users over home internet users during times of congestion.